Welcome to Office Hours. My name is Probable Prime. If you have any questions, please drop them in the Office Hours text chat that is two above the one that you're currently in, and I'll get to the order that they arrive. If there are no questions, we are going to sit here on the precipice of doom with no noise or sound at all. The precipice of doom of silence. So just get those questions in, or we have to sit here. You'll slowly go mad at the lack of sound. So we have our first question here from Lex, which says, what's a good way to optimize avatars for network traffic? Are you making sure that only necessary things are being sent over the network to make sure the host doesn't get overloaded with data? That really does depend on the type of avatar. I see a lot of people that do like preemptive optimization for things that don't make sense to be optimized. There are like cases where you might want to do it for like artistic reasons. For example, the Anylander people will make their own IK, make their own sort of bones and rigging systems because of artistic reasons. They like making everything inside game without stepping outside of games. So they get that functionality. But I've seen some people who like make their own IK because they're like, well, the IK is bad. It's laggy and I want to avoid it. That's an example of like optimization that's not needed. If there's a problem with IK, we'll fix it. Eventually, right? We'll optimize it. There's a good parallel to be placed here on sort of browser stuff and JavaScript. I get quite opinionated here. So there's a bunch of front-end libraries that are designed to just put HTML on the page and make it interactive. You know, it's the stuff that powers TweetDeck, like whatever Twitter, whatever like website you use, it uses JavaScript these days. And there's a lot of cases where developers of JavaScript think they know better than the browser manufacturers, and they'll write their own mechanisms for doing various things, and then the browser like people catch up and they're like, hey, if you use our method, it's so much faster. So a good example here would be React, which has what's called a virtual sort of HTML virtual layer where like stuff gets copied around, and that was super fast and is still quite fast, but emerging standard in most browsers is now a native virtual HTML that makes stuff a lot faster than even React, but it's going to take years for people to use that because they're like, you know, there's inertia from using the old stuff. So again, it's a good example. Like, we know in some cases we know better than you about our ability to optimize it, and when we optimize it, if you don't put anything hacky in place, then you get those optimizations for free. As a more sort of neocentric example, if the React stuff blew over your head, let's say there's one node that you're using quite a lot, using it in every single logics chain you ever do, and it has a known issue with lag. You could, for example, avoid that node, or you could open up a bug report, and we could look at that bug and fix that node, and then every single use of that node would benefit from that optimization. If every single user avoided that node because it wasn't optimized, there would be no performance gain from us making that change. So keep that in mind. With that out of the way, once you're away from stuff that is just standard, so if you want your IK, your avatar to have IK, use IK, use our IK systems. If you want your avatar to have blend shapes, use those. For reasons other than network traffic, it's the best practice right now is to actually slice your head off. This is kind of grim. Slice your head off and make sure your blend shapes are only on your head. And not on the rest of your body. Now, of course, there are body modification blend shapes like sizing, etc. Those should only be on the body. The point being is like only put the blend shapes where they need to be and split the message split the meshes such that the data is not copied between those two places, and that's better for performance and other reasons, but not network traffic. Beyond those two things, which are literally nothing to do with the question really, avoid like writes where you can. I see a lot of people doing animations or like reciprocal motion based on sort of writes or Boolean latches. For example, they might have a tail wag and they're using a Boolean latch to do the tail wag, right? So they latch the latch on, it goes to true and the tail swings to the right. Then the latch off and the tail swings to the left. And what you're having there is you're just turning a Boolean latch on and off for literally no reason. You can use a drive for that, and that'll be a lot more performant and a lot less network traffic. Just use a sine wave. That's what a sine wave is. A sine wave is like essentially, on a smooth level, a Boolean latch turning on and off. Just mathematics. So keep that in mind. And then limit what's on your avatar as well. Like, if you don't use it every session, you don't need it. So, you know, don't parent a gun to your avatar, because I can guarantee you only shoot that gun like once a day, maybe. Sometimes if you parent it to your avatar, you'll find excuses to use it, and it's not very polite to just walk into every session and be like, oh yeah, the gun on my avatar, which I need to justify having, I'll shoot everyone. No, just don't put the gun on your avatar. Same thing goes with like multi-tools and stuff like that. Like if you don't use it, don't put it on your avatar, and therefore you won't have that.
Then beyond that, yeah, just make sure you're using as many drives as possible. Writes might sound good. Repeated writes might sound good, but writes are sort of like anoic synchronization things. Yeah, the blend shape thing is like, it's just like really, in some cases, like annoying. It's like there are like defined ways to handle them. But a lot of times either the defined ways to handle them right now are kind of difficult to do, or rely on a sort of culture change in avatar base makers. For example, the culture of avatar base makers right now is to add as many blend shapes as possible, because that actually drives their sales up. If they can, you know, especially the body modification blend shapes, if there's like five different body types and blend shapes change all of those, beautiful, that's a lot of money for those avatar makers. If there's a lot of expression blend shapes, again, that's going to drive sales up because they can make cute faces, etc. But what that doesn't do is it doesn't provide bases into the community that have optimization in mind. If they started just, you know, guillotining the head off properly, there'd be performance there. And if they, I don't know, if they had something in Unity, Blender, or even if we had something inside of Neos that made it, baking the blend shapes and putting those around would be a lot better. You can do it now, and I do recommend you do it, but some people are just like, it's too complicated, or I don't want to do it, or I don't understand how to do it. We could make a better system for that. I always imagine, like, you know, in Star Trek, where medicine, well, you know, in Star Trek, some guys might not know Star Trek here. In Star Trek, of course, because it's a sci-fi, so in the future, I'm always sort of fascinated by the medical episodes. You know, someone walks into the doctor. It always seems like much better than the healthcare system in any country I've ever been in, right? You just walk into, like here, in reality, you walk into the doctor and they've just got to guess what's wrong with you. But in Star Trek, you walk into the doctor, they beep you with a scanner, and then they inject you with one injection, and then you're done and you can leave. Like, that's how our tooling should be for avatars, right? You get out a tool, or you get out a UI, you stick the avatar in it, and you're like, I want to optimize it, and we'll just do everything for you. We'll find out where the head is, we'll guillotine it, we'll separate those things, we'll bake blend shapes that you aren't using, and then we'll provide you with the optimized version. You can just save that to your inventory. And that way you've got an optimized one and an editing one. Blender and Unity should also be doing some of that. I know that VRChat actually does do some of that. When you upload an avatar, you'll see things like preparing your avatar for upload. That does do some sort of optimizations and changes to the avatar when it's uploaded. People just don't notice that, of course, because they can't sort of investigate the intermediary stage. The intermediary stage goes straight to VRChat, and so you don't see what's happening there. But I do know that they do some stuff to sort of adjust things. To answer like this question about weight, that's a thing. Yeah, it's called Web Components. It comes under the sort of generic tree of that. It's a more native way to do what every front-end library does right now, which is basically like, instead of having like to write code and you know, JavaScript and stuff to do like, oh, custom element here, like cheese fountain might be a custom element, right, in HTML, you can just do it using standard stuff that's built into the browser, and it's faster because, like, it runs faster because it's in the browser, it's not JavaScript. It's taking a while for people to catch up to it. Moving on, Swithin has a question. Will there be any way in the future to pull your own avatars out of Neos? Like, if you worked on your avatar at some point in the future, you want to edit a few things in Blender, but don't want to go back through the process of redoing everything on a new version of your avatar. Yes and no. When your avatar is imported into Neos, it is changed through a couple of mechanisms. First of all, it goes from a sort of FBX or whatever you import it as, whatever file type. It goes from there to, like, RS importers, internal format, and then into Neos's internal format, and going backwards from that is kind of difficult, and so that's why that doesn't work right now. That's why exporting avatars does not work right now. There are stuff that we can do there to make that a lot easier. What I would actually think would be a better move there, though, would be to make it more seamless for you to re-import the avatar and just sort of like shoot it across onto the current avatar. You can already do that, but it does have limitations. If you don't change blend shapes, you just change weights, or you just adjust blend shapes, so no added blend shapes, no added bones, you can just update the mesh reference on your avatar, and it will work. If you add blend shapes or add bones, it can not work. I should probably like document that a little bit, because like some people don't realize that happens. But yeah, if you don't add any bones, you don't add any blend shapes, you just edit stuff within those existing constraints, you just replace the mesh reference. It's perfectly easy. You don't need to do anything. I do it all the time for UV editing. Like, UV editing is quite stable, and usually UV editing doesn't touch the bones or blend shapes, right? You're just adjusting the UVs or adjusting the textures. You can just drop in a new a new mesh reference. I also do it for weights. Weights also appears to be one that is stable. As long as you don't add any bones, for example. I always have issues with clothing, like clipping where the skin clips through or bits of clothing clip with each other. And so I edit the weight painting a lot, and I don't need to recreate the avatar in that case. I just update the mesh reference and it works. But that is because I am not breaking any of those constraints I mentioned. I also want to get one of those, like, you know, when you have to do humanoid rig unity. Let me see if I can get a bit. Yeah. This screen. I want to see if we can get something similar to that inside Unity. It would only, inside Neos, it would only appear when there's a problem. Like, if we can't automatically do it, we could, like, open it up. Or maybe you could edit it afterwards if there was a problem. I don't want that to be a step that everyone has to go through. I want it to be a step that people have to go through if they want to edit stuff, or they want to adjust it, or it's coming in wrong and they need to just do it manually. That would be great, because then it would be like, cool, you don't need to worry about the rig. We have a lot of people that come in and they say, like, hey, what is the rig requirements for Neos? And we link them the wiki article I wrote, but then they're like, oh, I've got to remake my avatar to conform to that rig. And I'm like, it's really not, like, it's not that much different to VRChats. Like, it's almost identical to VRChats. Like, I don't know why you're redoing your rig. So, cool. Confusing. But there we go. Moving onwards to more questions. Kip says, do you know a good sound file playlist object in public folders? I don't know playlists. The only playlist one I know is the Polylogix YouTube player that can handle YouTube playlists. There are a few I have seen that can do, like, multiple sound files in a list, but I don't have one to hand. I'm somewhat sound adverse, so it is boiling in here. So I'm going to go ahead and turn on the magical AC. Yeah, I have a portable AC unit. It's big, large, stupid, but it makes the room cold, so I'm happy about that. It doesn't make the room cold when I have too many doors open, though, because if I have my bedroom door and my bathroom door open, it kind of doubles the square footage, which it needs to exact pressure on. I can never remember if an air conditioner does negative or positive pressure, but it needs, like, a complete closed system to work effectively. So I'm going to go close some doors. Be right back. Keep questions coming. I'll get back to them in just a second. And I'm back with the bedroom and bathroom door closed. We now have a closed pressure system, which has immediately doubled the effect of the air conditioner. So if your air conditioner isn't working, close those windows, close those doors, get a draft excluder for your doors as well. I have a, like, sticky plastic draft excluder that went on my front door, because when my AC was on, there was this whistling noise, which was effectively cold air I'm paying for going out underneath my door. And I'm like, nope, I'm paying for that air. Screw you. With that, we're out of questions. If you have any more questions, please do let us know. Please drop those questions in. If there are no additional questions, then soul-crushing silence commences now. You have the power of the sun in your hands. You can ask any question you want, and you're choosing to ask Sede in silence. Interesting. Quick call out, by the way. I occasionally, when colliders come up in office hours, I make a reference to a good example for using active colliders being mining with a pickaxe, and I got kind of annoyed that I kept forgetting to make that a tutorial, so I spent some time yesterday and made the tutorial. It's probably the hardest I've worked on a tutorial in a long time, so I'll just link it in the office hours chat there. It is a 30-minute long tutorial about building a mining system, and it's cool. It was probably about, like, 3 hours start to finish. I was like, I should record this. I need some assets. I have found some assets. I will build the object and make sure it works. Okay, it works. Cool. Now I've got to do, like, a recording of a 30-minute tutorial without many mistakes, and I did it in one take, no editing. There are a couple of, like, oopsie doozles, but, like, it's fine. The Storm says that the CJ team, CJ group, made a mining system using active colliders. Yeah, they should have. Active colliders are exactly what you need for that. The reason behind that is, I mean, I talk about it a little bit in the tutorial as well, but, like, it's like a problem with, like, sets. Like, basically, you have a set of mineable objects that you want to be static. You don't want the mineable objects, the ore that are out in the world, to be doing anything idly. If they're doing anything, you've got some wrong stuff there. You know, they don't need to be doing any maths or, you know, living their best life. They're just inanimate objects. But then you've got a bunch of people wielding pickaxes that want to be doing stuff. They want to be attacking the ore. So it makes sense to put the colliders on the stuff which is there's less of. There are more ore veins than people. No business lawyer, if you wanted to mine trees without punching them, you would need to maybe get, like, an axe tree chopping thing going. I'm happy to do more, like, RPG style tutorials. In that video I talk about, like, hey, what's next after mining, smelting? We could totally do a smelting tutorial. That would actually probably be easier. Because that would just be like, hey, you take the mind ore, you throw it into the furnace, you wait a few seconds, logic-wise, and now it pops like a bar. You know, stereotypical mining. Although I might be interesting to see if we can recreate Hydroneer systems. So in Hydroneer, you can drop multiple ore nuggets into a cauldron and then pour it out, and that'll get you a higher bar, like a higher purity bar. Which works out fine until you realize that you've been, you know, playing the game a long time and that your one gold bar has like 3 million gold worth of gold inside it. It's just like, cool, that cauldron will just keep adding weight and quality until you stop it. Slinker says a health system. Yeah, I keep thinking about that one. It's difficult to do, and the reason behind that one is that there are so many health systems that exist out there already. There are a couple that sort of communicate between multiple games as well. They've established a couple of standards. I'm aware there's a standard one of the building groups uses, and I would think there's a standard which the Japanese community uses as well. And so I would hate to introduce another standard. But if I make it deliberately a little bit crunchy and a little bit basic, then that might work. That's what I did for the mining system as well. There's no like durability or anything like that, or like the sound isn't good either in the tutorial, but it gets you started. Yeah, simpler systems are good. I especially love having like a place to go on from. So again, referring to that video above, I put like the whole resource pack I found in the world, which has all sorts of resources, including like crystals and stuff like that. And I show very clearly during the tutorial, here's where you make an ore more difficult to mine or require more hits. And so you could go into that world, and if you wanted to learn a little bit more, you could set it up such that the crystal resources required more mining or maybe a different pickaxe. But it is there have been other examples, but it's one of the sort of initial examples of where I take like 500 other videos I've recorded and smush them together into a new tutorial. Sometimes I do like isolated technical concepts, and it's like, well, why would I need this node? Well, here's a video for you. It's called Mineable. Yeah, I don't want to make big claims here because of like it's hard to prove, but I think I was the first person to do a health system. If you look up the world browser for Deathmatch template, there is an ancient world. It was a long, long, long time ago. In fact, the only person I recognize that was around back then in this chat right now is Business Lawyer, but Business Lawyer's been here forever. That was the first time I saw it. I had guns, I had HP points, I had respawning, I had it all down. The reason behind that sort of rush was that I don't think anyone understood dynamic impulses back then. But Fruks kept going around in various worlds and they were like showing off dynamic impulses and people were like, oh, those are cool. And then he started seeing stuff being created using dynamic impulses and he's like, yay, the knowledge is spreading. I don't know if he just added dynamic impulses. It might have been that. I'd have to take a look at the update notes. But yeah, look at Deathmatch template. It is ancient. I was going to do a tutorial on how that worked, but of course then it changed because of dynamic variables. Yeah, okay. Deathmatch template, 12th of April, 2019. Long, 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 long time ago. So Kip says, if a mesh has the same vertex groups, can you swap it out by changing the reference? Yes. Yes, I think so. Try it. Here's the best bet as well. Like, if you've saved the avatar and you have edits that you want to apply anyway, and you're worried about re-importing the avatar, it's worth it to try. Just go in a world, slap down the saved avatar, update that mesh. If it turns into like a cosmic horror being, then you're out of luck. Sometimes it will just work though. There is also the rig transfer tooltip. I have no idea how that's meant to work. I've been meaning to ask Fruks for like years because like the avatar rig transfer tooltip either does cosmic horror or works flawlessly, and I don't understand why or when. Spec says, yes, I think the key to having either of those work is has the vertex order changed. Yeah, it's something like that. It's like, has the vertex order changed? Has the number of bones changed? Has the number of straight keys changed? Oh, a fun story here, which leads to a bunch of like crazy cosmic horror, is if you rig transfer tooltip to stuff that you know isn't going to be incompatible, sometimes it can lead to cool results. I have a version of my regular tutorial avatar, which I accidentally rig transferred with a Dutch angel dragon. And it turned me into this like very spindly creature that has a Dutch angel dragon head that's all shriveled and a tiny wing on one side. And so it looks really cosmic horror-y, but like kind of artistic as well. So try that out. Maybe take like a Hobkin and rig transfer it onto a Rex and just see what monstrosity you create. Kip says, do you have a tutorial on camera objects and outputting it to a texture real time? Possibly. Give me a second. Not directly, but the following video on how on like a showcase of build in Akita here might help, because that uses a camera texture. The build Akita is a very simple in terms of textured model by username by the Zab, who periodically jumps into NES and says hi. The texture sheet basically has squares of color for each part of the Akita, except for the body. The body's more complicated, so you can do patterns and stuff like that, but things like the collar, the tie, the eyes, the nose, etc., those are all sort of just single squares, and so you can change the color of those by just what I do is I put a quad over that area on the texture sheet, and then I have a camera in front of that, which I then hook up to the actual texture of the Akita, and that way you can see the changes live. And then when you hit bake, I bake that camera view into an actual texture, and I set that texture to be the texture of the avatar. Similar way to how Neoto Shop works. It's actually inspired by how Neoto Shop works, leads to a lot of cool stuff going on there. You can kind of see how composition works in this random screenshot I'm going to pull out of the middle of nowhere. Where are we? Here, where we have, this is a science application that I was doing the other day. In this picture, you can see that we've got two cameras being composited by having a third camera in front of them. So two cameras output their two views to a quad, and then in front of that is another camera which composites them together with some UIX, which is graphing data. And then you could make that a texture for an avatar if you wanted to. For another example of seeing that in place, on top of my head, my MMC 2022 entry does have that in there for the whirlpools. I don't remember like where they are or how to get to them. That world was created quite rapidly, as I gave myself a weekend to do it, so do take a look. With that, I believe we're out of questions and out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and leave things off here, and I will see you again next week. If you have any questions in the meantime, please feel free to direct message me, post on the Discord, make bug reports, etc., I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Watch that mineable ore video if you're interested in making a mining system, and keep the requests coming in for what you'd like to see next. I saw health system, I'll add that to my list to do. Oh, your previous question. If I missed the question, I'm going to go back to it. I'm sorry, Legs. I'm sorry. That wasn't a question. Do you mean the AnimJ one? I haven't looked yet. I promise you. Like, I haven't looked yet. I do mean to look. It's just I haven't looked yet. Like, my list is quite big. I will communicate when I take a look. All right. Speak to you later. Bye-bye.